All right, joining us on the line right now, Jimmy Williams and Devin McMillan of War Room Sports. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
How are you? Can you hear us?
Oh, man, we're good. We're good. Everybody's good. You know, as you probably have heard, we're kind of having the Heat Thunder argument, which I was kind of trying to save for the end of our segment with you. But
no, let's bring it. No, man, let's bring it right now, man. I need to know what the real basketball men have to think about this topic.
Now, all right, before we talk about that, let's kind of go back to the All-Star game for a second. You know, Devin, let's start off with you. Are we making too much of LeBron, or am I making too much of LeBron not taking the last shot in the All-Star game?
No, you're not making too much of it. I'm totally on board with what you're saying, Roy, because I agree, Chris, it's just an exhibition game. But this isn't the first time we've seen it. This isn't the second time. Not one, not two, not three.
Not two, not three.
We see this all the time, and at this point, I mean, it's psychological. I mean, we all know that LeBron is probably the most talented basketball player we've ever seen. But what is it about these situations where he just removes himself from the situation altogether? Like, you choose to inbound the ball? You choose to throw a pass cross-court? Like, I don't get it. It's the All-Star game. If there's any time where you can stop being afraid and, you know, gun the last shot for a change, this is the opportunity to do it. Everybody wanted to see him matched up with Kobe one-on-one, splash the J in Kobe's face, walk off the court. Let's go. I don't get it.
But Dev, you'd agree that, like, if he took that shot and he missed it, people would be killing him as much, so he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't.
He is sort of in a no-win situation right now. But speaking from my perspective, in real games, the All-Star game, I'd rather see him take the shot and miss than to just keep removing himself from the situation altogether. LeBron James was the reason the East came back in the game in the first place. So you do all of that, right, and then when it's nut-cutting time, he cuts off his own nuts. Like, I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this?
It's funny because I kind of feel bad for LeBron, believe it or not. Like, he's judged on a different level than everybody else. And you're right. It is just an exhibition game. But at the same time, look at the way he took it afterwards when he had to do an interview with Craig Sager. I don't know whether he was upset of Craig Sager's territorial game or the fact that, you know, what just happened. But he took it hard himself. I let my teammates down. It sounded like they just lost the finals. So, you know, that's why I kind of fall. It's funny because I kind of feel sorry for him because it is just an exhibition game. And like Chris is saying, if he would have shot it and missed, people would have criticized. He's in a no-win situation. But with that being said, when you add it on to what you've already seen from LeBron and the way he reacted, it is mental. I mean, he reacted like they just lost the finals.
Mental mental.
Dev, I totally agree. Like, I don't know, like, he can't thrive on pressure. He's the ultimate front runner. Like, I don't know, like, when things are going good, he's like adding on to it. But when like things are getting when things are getting tight, like his skinny jeans, like, I don't know, he's totally.
And his
post-game
sweater.
Did
you see his reaction though? His reaction was like telling.
You know what? Jimmy brings up a very good point that I didn't even think about, because you can't really have it both ways. If you're going to act like that after the game, like you just lost the finals, then we can't just say it's just an exhibition game, because obviously whether he's faking for the cameras or not, he took it pretty hard. So.
No, you're absolutely right, although I'm not sure why Sager interviewed a guy on the losing team. You know,
how about that? How about that?
You know,
that shows you that it was more than just like, you know, an exhibition game with LeBron messing up at that, and that shows you right there.
Right. And real quick before we move on from LeBron, you talked about Craig Sager's sartorial game. Who has a worse sartorial game? Is it LeBron James or is it Jaheim?
Ooh, that's tough. I would have automatically said LeBron, but after seeing what Jaheim wore to the funeral, that's a tough one right there. I don't know what a word for that. That was repugnant.
The Michael Jordan Memorial Sartorial Award probably goes to Jaheim.
Definitely does.
I'm thinking on this
But guys, we need to talk about LeBron trying to like be part of like Young Money, man. Like the student.
You're talking
about on my nerve.
With the thriller jackets and the tight jeans and the
Wanya Morris
glasses.
and that's the thing. Like he doesn't I think, like I said in the beginning, dude is just trying way too hard to be like cool. Like I don't know. Like someone needs to tell him. You know, Mav needs to tell him. Be like, yo, you're dropping 33, 6, and 5. You can wear overalls and be cool. But he's trying. Like him and Wade are like I'm trying to think of like a suspect, like, I don't know, like, one's like RuPaul, and like, one's like, you guys, like, deciding
what. But the thing about it is, Wade has always been that way. It seems like LeBron,
yeah.
I mean, I guess he saw online, like, it's obvious between those two, like, who's the dominant figure. Like, Wade
right.
has always been that way. Since,
you
like,
know
LeBron
what, though, when
got
you,
there.
Jimmy, when you look at LeBron's clothing, you might think that a lot of them are hand-me-downs from Dwayne. Because he wears the clothing of a, you know, a 6'4 shooting guard, and he's like a 6'9.
it's crazy because it's so obvious who the lead. I mean, even when that pass he threw, like Melo was open. He was throwing all the way across court to his
right.
his Uncle Dwayne. And then to make it worse, Kobe just came over there and started sunning him, like, you know, why didn't you shoot the shot? And Melo was laughing at
him. Melo was laughing at him the whole time.
It was definitely a bad scene. While we're on All Star Weekend, kind of let's take it back the day before that to the dunk contest. Like I know you guys were watching it. You guys were on Twitter, you know, and I think we all came to the same conclusion that the dunk contest was pretty bad. Is there anything that the league can do to provide the dunk contest?
Man, the ideas that everybody has flying around basically consists around them putting a big pot of money, out there trying to entice the bigger stars to be in a dunk contest.
Right.
I don't understand why that's even necessary, though. Like, why are the stars
exactly.
of today too
the
good money? To be a part of the dunk contest? I really don't get it. They talk the talk. They go to All-Star Weekend. Well, it's all about the fans, and we want to do this for our fans. Your fans want to see some superstars in the dunk contest to make it interesting, and, you know, a lot of people just won't do it, and I don't understand why. So, you know,
yeah.
I don't think the prize should be as big as everybody says it should be.
I think they could bring it back at all.
Really?
Roy, you wrote a great article when you talked about how Vince Carter killed a dunk contest. And when I was reading your article, I was like, he has a great point. Vince Carter didn't use any props, and he didn't jump over any people or anything like that. It was just him and the ball. And
right.
since then, it's just gotten out of hand. I don't think there's any way to bring it back. I can't see what they could possibly do to make me want to watch that again. I think it's just time to move on.
Well, the dunk contest
you don't think
has been on life support for years now, but you know who has the smoking gun in his hand, who actually killed it? And they should not
exactly.
let him around the dunk contest anymore, Kenny Smith. Because Kenny Smith is the one who encourages all these gimmicks and, you know, the acting and the choirs and the jumping over cars.
Choir,
and
exactly.
I blame it on Kenny Smith. Get rid of Jet.
Yeah.
We can get it back.
Yeah, somebody has to be at fault for all these skits and all the stuff they've been doing, and bringing out P. Diddy and all this other stuff. I mean, just dunk the ball. You don't need to do all this extra stuff.
Like the whole P. Diddy thing, they actually had to rehearse that. Like, he had lines and everything. Like seriously? It's a dunk contest.
Next year they need to bring back Vince Carter's like muggy old ass at like 39 and like make him dunk it so he can pull like a hamstring. Like, I don't know, like that'd be cool.
And
yeah,
I think LeBron James has to do it at least once. That should be like a rite of passage for somebody of his stature.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan did it. Kobe Bryant did it. Vince Carter did it. Like,
you know,
who are you?
It's a sign of the times, Dev. It's like these guys are more worried about protecting their brand. When Michael Jordan and Kobe, they didn't come along at a time where there was like social media, and the media in general is the way it is. So for LeBron, I guess he looks at it as like people slander him no matter what he does. If he goes out and stinks up a dunk contest, I guess it's like an analysis he does. But the cost-benefit analysis of actually doing the dunk contest, for him, it's like, I might as well not even try.
So if he goes out and Derek Williams up the dunk contest, then his reputation.
Yeah, it hurts the LeBron brand as much as he's hurting it himself now. You know, I don't think that him running a dunk contest can enhance it at all. At this point, he needs to shut up and just play ball and try to win a championship.
Yeah, but exactly. There's many people that are clamoring for him to be in it. Maybe it would enhance your brand if you did something for the fans instead of going on TV all the time saying that you're doing stuff for the fans.
not unless he chokes in the finals again. If he wins the finals game, then like, you may see a whole new LeBron.
With a different hairline?
That I don't know about.
No. Like that should be the theme for next year's dunk contest. If LeBron wins it, then, like, I don't know, he can keep his hairline, but if he loses, he needs to go, like, I don't know, Vin Diesel or, like,
come on home, LeBron.
Come on home, LeBron. We were talking about the classic dunks. You brought up Jordan and Vince Carter and those guys. You know, what are you guys? Jimmy, I'll start with you. What's your favorite dunk contest or dunk memory in general, like of all time?
Honestly, my favorite – well, it's not even a favorite memory. I just remember the Jordan dunk when he got the 50 in Chicago and how I believe they jerked Dominic. So it wasn't even like a great memory. I'll never forget that because I was like looking like, wow, like he got a 50 on that? I mean, but they were in Chicago and all that. But I think Dominic got jerked. And other than that, watching Spud Webb dunk was amazing to me, even when you watch the replay.
Yeah.
This dude was so little. It's like, come on, man.
Wow, that's funny, Jimmy, because, I mean, that's basically the same two memories. I guess that's everybody's favorite two memories. So I guess I'll just switch it up and go the first Vince Carter dunk because you sat there in kind of disbelief and you kind of thought, okay, maybe the dunk contest is finally back. And it was for 1 year, but that moment was kind of crazy. And just thinking back to the day, not even a specific contest, just when they used to do the introductions, and there was a whole line of cats waiting to dunk, and they did all the introductions, and, you know, you were so hyped to see what was about to go down. You don't have that feeling anymore. I mean.
And also, hold on. We can't leave out my man Iggy, because Iggy had one of the nastiest dunks ever.
Iggy got robbed.
That was
Iggy
the biggest robbery
robbed.
Ever. He got robbed worse than Dominique.
No,
but like I definitely agree with like the Vince Carter, like every one of those dunks, like I don't know, the first one, the second one, and then the third one. But the two things I'll take from that were one, all the NBA players going ape shit when he was doing this, and two, like the panel, like most likely Zeke, like jumping over the table, like try running as fast as he could to like hug Vince Carter. It was amazing television.
And what happened to Mutombo? If you watch all the old dunk contests, Mutombo was always there going crazy at over every dunk. I mean, he even another memory. What was the guy's name that played for the Nets that time? Darrell Armstrong. When he laid the ball up in the dunk contest.
That's right. Yeah, there's a Darrell Armstrong. There's like Tim Perry in the dunk contest, which was just an epic fail. But it was always like you were talking about Dikembe. I don't know if you guys remember, but you know who always was there? Jerome Williams.
The junkyard dog always.
These guys are like defensive guys, so they're happy to see these guys dunking and it's not on them. So you know they were probably fans of these guys.
Oh man, no doubt. Let's kind of moving on. We're here with Jimmy Williams and Devin McMillan of War Room Sports. Check those guys out each and every Thursday at 6 p.m. here on Blog Talk Radio. Let's switch it up, guys. Let's talk about the local basketball team. Let's talk about the Sixers for a minute. 20-14 at the halfway point, although they kind of limped it to the All Star break with five straight losses. How far can this team go with the current roster? A lot of people want to kind of stick with these current guys because they think they can grow over a few years. How far do you see this current group of Sixers kind of going ultimately, not just this year, but ultimately in the playoffs?
Well, you said not this year because this year. I don't know. It looks like the season is kind of – I don't know if it's taking a turn, but, I mean, you look at the schedule a little bit and, you know, we may not come out of the gate too strong. We should beat Detroit tonight. This year, I'm saying matchup-wise, maybe first round, second round, if we can stay, you know, far enough in the standings to get a good matchup in the first round. But going further past this year, I definitely think that the Sixers need to make some kind of a move in order to get better. I mean, I like the guys, the young nucleus, and how they play together. And, you know, there's no, you know, me guys on the team. But at some point, we are going to need some sort of a superstar. Because when we get into those tight games down the stretch, I mean, we can't keep relying on our sixth man to try to bail us out. Because now that Lou is comfortable in that role, he's starting to take any shot that he feels like. And he doesn't have the same, you know, the same little cachet that he had when he was making the shots and we weren't expecting it. You know, now he's kind of tripping.
Right.
So I definitely think a move has to be made in order for this team to actually be contenders in the future. I mean, it's some strong teams at the top of the league, and I don't think we really can compete with, like, especially Miami. Like,
hey, that's the crazy part. When I think about it, Miami has just changed the landscape of the entire league. I look at teams like even Chicago, where Miami, it's just not fair. Like, how can Chris Bosh be your third best player? Like, seriously. Like, they kind of changed everything. So when you look at the Sixers, I hope for them to possibly win one round, but, you know, this season kind of worked in their advantage in the sense that they started off with, not so tough of a schedule, but they did what they were supposed to, and they beat those teams convincingly. They competed against some good teams, but when they play Miami, they just get run out of the gym, it seems.
In the fourth quarter.
In the fourth quarter, of course, but they play them tight for a while. But
right.
I just want to see where they are seated. And the seeding, you know, is important because if they can fall into like a third or fourth seed, then they possibly can win a round. And that will be growth from last year. But moving forward, I guess they would have to make a move. Now, what move to be made? That's difficult because in the NBA, it's not like it's a video game where you just trade this player for that player. Salaries have to match, and the Sixers have some players that are making a lot more than they deserve to be making. You know, that's where their difficulty comes. You look at that Elton Brand contract, and, you know, some people say Iggy, although y'all know I am an Iguodala fan, the last one left in Philly.
Stan.
He has value, though.
He gets a bum rap to me, so I always take up for him because people in Philadelphia don't appreciate Iguodala because I blame it on Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was so dominant and scored at such a high level that people expect, you know, the next AI, so to speak, to do that. And that's just not his game. But Iggy is one of the best all-around players in the NBA. He's probably a top five small forward in the league. People don't like to hear that, but it's the truth.
I don't disagree with that, but his game obviously isn't scoring points in the fourth quarter because he's made one basket in the last seven fourth quarters. So, I mean, am I supposed to be okay with that, even though he plays really good defense?
Well, here's the thing. Iguodala is I wouldn't even call him a role player. He's a second or a sidekick player playing as the number one guy.
Yeah.
He's not the number one guy.
Right.
It's actually the organization's fault that the fans feel this way because when you give a co-star $80 million, then expectations go up. And like Jimmy said, that's not really his game, you know, to do all the scoring. He's an all-around player. He plays defense. You know, I mean, he could do a little bit of everything. But scoring and bailing you out of situations is really not his forte. So, you know, if we didn't pay Elton Brand $80 million after, you know, he broke his life, then, I mean, that seems to be what we do, though. We pay.
That's a more egregious contract. Elton Brand's contract is more egregious than even Iguodala's.
Right.
I understand, like, he's an old-school Chevy and all, but come on. He doesn't
matter. Now, if we had Clippers Elton Brand or Chicago Elton Brand, then that might be,
different.
You know, that would be a better situation for Iguodala. But now that Elton Brand is a shell of himself, you know, Iggy still has to be the leader, and that's not really his thing.
Right.
Yeah, because someone interviewed that dumbass, Ed Stefanski, for an article, and he actually had something enlightening to say. Like, he said, like, Iguodala can't be the best player on a team, but he can be. If he's the second best player, you have a contender. But if he's the third best player, you have a championship team. And you know what? I can't believe to say this. He's right. Like, I don't know. Like, I slowly have gone to appreciate Iguodala's game. Like, he's got to be one of the, five best defensive players in the league. And, like, and he distributes the ball. I mean, don't ask him to shoot a jump shot. fine. But, like, other than that, like, I don't know. Like, I've grown to appreciate him, and I think they need to keep him. Like, and find a way to either trade one of these, like, these young players, because I don't think all three of these guys don't fit. Like, I don't know. You can't have Turner, Holiday, and Iguodala. You need
right.
to trade them. You need to trade one of these guys for, A, an elite point guard, or, two, a low post score.
Well,
yeah,
you
actually,
get rid of Evan Turner, who is coach going to scream at? You know, he's like the coach's punching bag. So he has to stay around for the coach to have somebody to scream at.
Exactly.
Yeah, I actually looked
exactly.
at Drew Holiday last year and thought that he was on his way to being an upper echelon point guard in the league, but he's definitely regressed this year. So while I'm feeling this way, this would be their best time to trade him. Because if it was any other time, I would be upset. But while I'm feeling
right.
the regression, this would be the best time to trade him. And I think I don't know, because the Sixers have that kind of nucleus where you don't want to see any of your young players go because you like the role that they all play. But you know
right.
something has to happen for this team to take
the next step.
Something's got to give.
Nah.
And if it's Drew Holiday, for us to get maybe a better distributor at point guard, that might make it easier for Iguodala and Evan Turner to play together. Evan Turner needs to eventually get into the starting lineup. I don't think stretching the floor is that important that Jody Meeks has to remain in the starting lineup. He's a one-trick pony. He can come off
exactly.
the bench and do his trick.
He's a one-trick pony, and sometimes that trick doesn't work. And
yeah.
when it's not working.
Yeah. If you're missing wide open threes, then you know why are you here?
Exactly right. Exactly right. Just to kind of wrap it up, let's just kind of go back to the NBA in general. Just take your time. We were talking about the Heat and the Thunder as being the title favorites. Who do each of you have winning it all this year? Like, who gets to the finals in each conference and who wins it all each year? Jimmy, let's start with you.
I have Miami as winning the finals, believe it or not. I just think that they have, you know, too much talent, and the way they're playing defense, they're playing defense at a high level. See, but the thing about it is, I wouldn't be shocked if they got upset because of what happened. They have to do it, but I think they're the favorite. They have to be the favorite. The way they're playing defense, the talent they have on their team, the way the NBA mm-hmm. fixed it so they can get Shane Battier with that mid-level exception, that's a side note. But I actually have OKC and Miami also meeting in the finals with
okay.
Miami winning. I don't think it'll be in five games like Chris does. I think he's kind of undervaluing OKC a little bit, but
I do think
Miami's the favorite to win.
Okay. Dev?
Yeah. In the beginning of the season, I had Miami, and I just went out on a limb thinking that the Lakers might be around for one more hurrah. Doesn't really look like that's going to happen. So, you know, I've also changed my midseason pick to Miami versus OKC. I guess everybody's on that bandwagon now.
Yeah.
I can't see any team in the league beating Miami in a seven-game series this year. It hurts me to say that because I hate the whole super teaming thing. I hate that they all went down there and did that. I'm actually a fan of each of those players individually. But I really dislike
Chris
the fact
Bosch?
They got together. Even Bosch. I've been defending
Bosch
for the last 2 years. So I've been a fan of Bosch for a while, but I don't see anybody beating Miami in a seven-game series. So I would think Miami would beat OKC in six. Now, I'd be rooting really
yeah.
hard for OKC to win. You know, I'd rather them win than me be right because I just don't want it to work in Miami. You know, call me a hater.
Yeah.
Or whatever, I just don't want that to work. Now, if they split up and they go elsewhere and LeBron gets his championship like he was supposed to, and Bosh not going to win one as the best player. But
look, can I ask you guys a question? If they decide to super team
yeah.
up and it wasn't in Miami, let's just say they said all three of us are going to Milwaukee, would it have been the
uh-huh.
same thing, or is it because they went to D-Wade's team? Like, would LeBron get as much criticism if they would have went to, like, we're all going to play for the Wizards?
No.
I think it's a part of it, Jim. It's a part of it. Because Dwayne Wade has already had success down there in Miami. So it kind of looks like, you know, you guys are jumping on that bandwagon. But, you know, Miami was still garbage when they all got there. So I just
right.
don't like the fact that they're all playing on the same team
That would have been funny. They all would have went to, like, Milwaukee. That would have been hilarious.
I mean, they would have saved a small market franchise had they done that, but.
Exactly. I mean, like, yeah, but no, I think just to kind of piggyback on that, I think it definitely has a factor because, like you said, like Wade already won a title without these guys. So it's like LeBron is like when LeBron and Chris came there, they almost, you know, they're basically signed up for, you know, more or less, I don't want to call them secondary roles, but it's kind of like you're kind of riding Dwayne Wade's coattails because he's already had success in Miami. And, you know, as we've seen, like it seems like, you know, as we talked about before, you know, D-Wade's big brother, you know, LeBron's little brother, and Chris Bosh is that cousin that they don't talk to. So, like you kind of see that hierarchy. Like you kind of already see that hierarchy, like there in Miami. And I think if they went to a different team, I think it would have been a little bit different.
And people get mad when I say this, but it's like Kobe is like their father. And the reason I say that is because when I watched that game, and I know a lot of people hate Kobe, but to me it was hilarious how he was screaming at me. He was screaming at LeBron, like, why didn't you shoot the ball?
He said, shoot the effing ball. Yeah.
Shoot the effing ball. I said, that's how you scream at your son when, like, you know, I felt like if they were at a soccer game, LeBron was like the angry soccer. I mean, Kobe was like the angry soccer mom screaming at her son. Like, he was screaming at him. And I'm like,
yeah.
This guy's a two-time MVP. He got more MVP than you.
And Dwayne Wade is the rebellious kid who doesn't like his mom.
Yeah, that's why he found Kobe that way.
There's something
that's
behind
exactly
that.
That's why he found Kobe.
This isn't the first time I've noticed. I noticed Dwayne Wade has a different attitude when he's in the same place with Kobe Bryant.
Listen, I have it all figured out.
I've never said anything, but I've noticed.
I have it all figured out, guys. Here's why.
So,
just think about it. When Kobe played with Shaq and Shaq left, he went to Miami, and D-Wade was his sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they weren't getting along. What do you think he put in D-Wade's head about Kobe?
Oh.
Right.
You
okay,
know what I'm saying?
I see you.
And now, not only that, D-Wade is playing second fiddle to Kobe. On the Olympic team, he can't start. He's never first-team All-NBA. It's kind of like if Kobe wasn't around, D-Wade would be the best two-guard in the world, but because Kobe is around,
right,
he's not considered that.
He's not.
You
add right.
with the venom that Shaq put in there. And then you think about the fact that D-Wade probably knows he'll never start in the All-Star game again because Jeremy Lin is coming.
Hey, man, don't knock my cousin, man. Come on.
I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying.
Oh,
he's
starting from here on out.
Yeah. It's going to be him and D-Rose. And D-Wade, well, again, he's the guy that's going to always get overlooked because he's playing in Kobe's era, so to speak. So he's always going to be compared to Kobe, and Kobe has the championships and the scoring and this, that, and the third. This guy's never first-team All-NBA. He's never first-team defense, and he would be if not for Kobe.
Right,
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
like I said, I've noticed the animosity before. People don't really say anything about it, so I just leave it alone. But I've noticed it before. And that foul was very unnecessary, especially in an All-Star game. That foul was even more unnecessary than LeBron taking the last shot. Chris doesn't think the last shot was necessary. That foul was definitely necessary.
Oh, no. Like, and what was more not necessary was Wade, like, I don't know, 48 hours later apologizing. I'm like, dude, like, you're such a fake bitch. Like, I don't know. Like, dude, stand up and, like, I don't know, like man up and say, yeah, I fouled him.
Did you hear a statement after the game when they asked him about Kobe having the most points in All-Star history? The first thing he said was that's a testament to him, you know, not getting injured and being able to play in as many games.
Yeah, he didn't give him props about his game.
I'm like, damn.
Like, really, not
he's a great player. That's what it is. It's a testament to him not getting injured.
The dude is always injured, for real. He just plays through it.
Shaq planted that seed. I got it figured out. Shaq's to blame for that.
That's a good theory.
Oh, no. Look, I need to bring this up because you guys talked about this on your page. Who's more annoying, Dwight Howard or Shaq, with this Clark Kent Superman, like, I don't know, like, personality disorder? Like, I don't know. Like, both of those guys, swear to God, think they're friends with Jimmy Olsen, man. It's ridiculous.
Man, Shaq is annoying because he won't get over it, but at the same time, one of my pet peeves is nickname jacking. I hate when people steal nicknames. Like,
yes.
I know,
yes.
LaDainian,
yes.
Tomlinson's, you know, his initials are LT.
His initials.
But come on,
nope.
Call him something else. You know, if he's going to steal somebody's nickname, steal Ron Dane's nickname. He doesn't deserve it.
Exactly.
He could be the great Dane.
Exactly.
It's only one LT.
So I guess I can no longer go by the Nature Boy then. But anyway, I think that Dwight Howard is more annoying just because he tries to dress like Clark Kent and he's not playing, and that annoys me. Like, are you serious with the tight glasses and everything? The tight glasses, the tight clothes. He tries to dress like Clark Kent, and that's hilarious. The Jimmy Olsen comment is hilarious.
Well, nothing for nothing. I'll give Dwight props for the fact that he actually has glass in his sunglasses, unlike LeBron and D Wade. So I'll give him that.
Oh God, yeah.
I'll give him that.
Well, LeBron would have glass in his if Dwayne had glass in his.
Well,
I'm just saying.
Someone needs to make a public service announcement. Like, anyone who's over 6 foot should not be wearing skinny jeans under any circumstances, much less red skinny jeans. Like Dwayne Wade. Like, I don't know, that's just a style faux pas.
But did you see the Thriller jackets? They had all tight Thriller jackets. I was looking for the glove.
Yeah, they were sitting next to each other eating the same meal. Something's wrong.
Something is crazy.
I'm telling you, it's like the NBA version of like single white female. Like LeBron is obsessed with Dwayne Wade.
All right. Enough cracking on LeBron. Before we let you guys go, again, a lot of people, you know, may not be familiar with what you guys do over at the War Room. So, you know, Jim, Devin, I don't know who wants to take it. Just give our listeners out there a little taste of what you guys do over at War Room Sports.
All right. Well, Jim, I'll let them know when the show is. You can go. You can do your social media thing. You can hear our show, The War Room, every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, or you can go from our website, warroomsports.com, and just click on that Listen Live button. If you love Roy and Chris's show, we're the same kind of guys. That's why we click like this. So it's just five of us over there. So it gets really, really, really crazy sometimes because we can't control everybody. But you'll have a ball in the War Room just like you do on the Broad Street Line.
Yeah, no doubt. And if you can check us out all over social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr. We're everywhere. Just go to warroomsports.com and you look on the side. We have a YouTube channel, and definitely take a listen because we do have fun, and I'm extremely good at what I do. In fact, I got a call from Blog Talk today. They want me to get tested for PEDs because I'm so good at what I do. So definitely, I can take a listen to it,
and definitely pick up that. We have a mobile app on iPhone and Android. Just go into
your
app store and search War Room Sports.
Yeah, like, guys, I want to personally thank you for having Malik Rose on a few weeks ago, because now I know, like, I don't know, like, he definitely called his mom thirsty, and he definitely...
Yeah, we had fun. Actually, that video drops tomorrow. We're going to put the video on our YouTube channel tomorrow, so people can listen to the interview with Malik.
Definitely check out our brothers over at warroomsports.com. Check them out each and every Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. here on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Jimmy, Devin, thank you for joining us, man. We
appreciate
it.
Thanks,
no problem. Thanks for having us, man.
No problem. We'll do it again.